Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is September 2nd. It is a Thursday, and we got to start with the biggest news story maybe ever. Everyone's favorite football team, Bishop Sycamore. How did this happen? ESPN, how many people did this have to go through that decided they're going to take it easy at their job this day?
Right. Like, they tell you, yeah, we have multiple guys with D1 offers. Not a single guy is on any scouting service or, you know.
Right.
Because they checked theirs first and they went to, you know, 247. Like they just started going down scouting services and they're like, oh, yeah, we trust them.
Like, were the words Bishop Sycamore typed into Google at any point before they put them on TV?
Right. And then on top of that, their coach has an arrest warrant out.
Right. Got fired.
And on top team. On top of that, they paid them $750,000 to play
right.
that game.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you can't really blame the guy at ESPN whose job this was. Sycamore's pretty hard to spell. there's no way he really could have found out that the address was just some apartment complex in Ohio. It's baffling.
How do you write a $750,000 check and without like at least 95% certainty that it's going to something legit? Like, understand ESPN has all the money in the world, and that $750,000 is a drop in the bucket.
Anytime you're writing out six digits, I feel like there should be 100% certainty
right.
that this is a real school. But yeah, apparently not. There, you know, everyone's getting the jokes off left and right about this, of course. I've already seen a Cam Newton in a Bishop Sycamore jersey Photoshop, which is very disrespectful. But I guess we'll kind of roll into that next. Kind of a surprise out of nowhere. Cam just cut from the Patriots. Mac Jones is the starter. It's kind of the two schools of thought on this. And we talked briefly about it. It's, hey, we're cutting Cam because we're showing that, like, full trust in Mac Jones. Like, there's not this, like, looming presence of Cam Newton that, like, if in week five, you know, you have a bad first half, we're going to put him in. At the same time, like, it's a move that is objectively making your team worse.
Right.
Which
I mean, because right now it's, I mean, even if Stidham was the number two, it's still objectively worse. But
right.
with him hurt, Hoyer at the backup position, I don't know. And I think it has to be a confidence thing, right? Like, to give Matt.
That's the only way you can even begin to justify it.
Because with a lot of those young guys, confidence does mean a lot. Because, I mean, like, yeah. obviously I follow the Packers quite a bit, follow a lot of local reporters, and, like, a lot of stuff I saw in training camp was when the coaches and teammates weren't saying anything to Love, he was performing really bad. But, like, when Love would complete, you know, a 30-yard pass, they'd hype him up, and right. he would do crazy the rest of practice.
There's also a difference, though. Jordan Love, Utah State, if Jimmy G were to be cut with, like, Trey Lance. This is Mac Jones, quarterback at Alabama. Every position at Alabama, you have a four-star guy behind you chomping to take your job at the first slip-up. I don't think he's really going to be the type to be rattled by a good backup.
Right.
You know, like,
that is fair.
I feel like he's spent his college years in a pro program already. He's used to that. I feel like at the very least, those, if you're getting those QBs from those big schools, like, they know the competition. They know that the talent level is high everywhere. Like,
right.
But, and I'm hesitant to even bring this up, and I'm not comparing them politically in any situation, but when Colin Kaepernick was first cut and didn't make a roster in the NFL, there was a big conversation every offseason, like, who's going to sign them, like looking at the teams with the weak quarterback rooms. And it would get to the point where it's like, well, you know, he's been out of the league for 2 years, but is Colin Kaepernick a top 32 quarterback in the world? Maybe not at this point. It's a discussion we had, but like maybe not. Is he one of the top 64? Almost definitely.
Right.
So is Cam, do you think he gets snatched up, or is it going to be in 2 years from now in the offseason? Are we going to be like, how does Cam not have a backup job?
I think he should get snatched up, but I just don't think he will. And I think, like you said, in 2 years, it's like, well, maybe now he can't, you know, now he's probably not a top 32. And there might, because of his age, I mean, he's not old, but like, I don't know.
I mean, Washington is starting Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
Like, is Cam worse than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I don't think. Depends on the day, right?
That's definitely true. But I don't, he was just fine last year until he got COVID.
Yeah.
And that kind of derailed the season. So I feel like maybe, I don't know who does it. Like, the Ravens have shown, like, they signed RG3 to be Lamar's backup to kind of, you know, fill that role if he were to go down. Cam isn't the runner that Lamar Jackson is, or even RG3 might have been speed-wise. He's a phenomenal athlete, obviously. At this point in his career, he's reverting a little bit more into pocket passing, as he should, and he is very good at. But at least the Ravens are a team that have shown to try to get similarly skilled backups to fill a role, so maybe that's a spot for him, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, especially if it's just like a good team that like doesn't have like a great backup. Like, what happens last year in San Francisco when Jimmy G goes down if they just have like Cam Newton to slot in?
Right.
Like, that's a great – he has a little ton of talent around him. Like, if you have that guy as a backup, like – your season isn't over when your quarterback goes down. Like,
see,
and how many teams do you think have the backup where they can say that if their quarterback goes down with a season-ending injury, that their season isn't just over? A couple, right?
Right. Less than a handful.
Exactly.
Yeah, because like the first team that came to mind here is the Cowboys.
I think I saw him lightly attached to the Cowboys, but nothing too.
Because, I mean, they cut Ben DiNucci. They're now running with Cooper Rush as the number two and Will Greer as the number three.
Right.
Like, that's one of those teams last year where if Dak gets hurt and Cam Newton's there to back him up,
put him right in, yeah,
they're probably winning the East. You know,
right.
I don't think they're making a deep playoff run.
You never know. Would have never said that about Nick Foles either. So,
right.
Well, different situations, but
yeah,
it's all about not. It's saving what could be a lost season.
Right.
And who knows, maybe, God forbid, you know, Dak goes down again in week three and they sign him. But I don't know why you wouldn't just do it now if he's.
You sign him now because you sign him if Dak goes down. But how fast can you learn a playbook?
He's willing to make the minimum with the Patriots. I don't see why he wouldn't sign another minimum deal someplace that wants him. Yeah, but we'll see. We'll have to see if, you know, my gut says he's not on a team week one.
I don't think so either.
But whether that's right or wrong.
And I also wouldn't be shocked if he's not on a team by the end of the season.
Yeah, neither would I. I mean, it's crazy, but.
It's crazy how those veterans just kind of get thrown under the rug when they lose a starting job to a young guy.
It goes so quick. But a little NBA news, which we've been lacking over the past couple weeks. The Bulls traded Lauri Markkanen to the Cavs. I got the exact details of the trade here. The Cavs get Lauri Markkanen and pay him 4 years, $67 million. The Blazers get Larry Nance from the Cavs, who by all reports was beloved in Cleveland. Like, how do you It's a business, but Cavs fans were not happy that they got rid of Larry Nance. His dad played there. I think he's going to be good in Portland, but and then the Bulls get Jarrett Jones Jr., a lottery protected first round pick from Portland, and a 2023 second round pick from Denver that's also coming. I have no idea how that gets though, but it's a second round pick. So at first I said, well, Portland just gave a first round pick for Larry Nance. And I was like, well, that's lottery protected. Portland's going to make the playoffs. So that's a first round pick for Larry Nance. If they have to trade Damian Lillard, maybe they're not a playoff team.
Right.
So is this a little bit of an indication that I don't think he's going to play for them, but that they are going to trade him before the season? I think so. I think that was the sentiment anyway that people thought was going to happen, but
that makes sense.
I haven't heard really rumblings of a deal in a while, so I think we went over a few trades a few weeks ago, but I still think the Knicks make most sense for him. But I got him actually. And the other NBA news we have is before the Ben Simmons news, I do want to touch on the Cavs, double Cavs news. Never thought we'd see it in September. Kevin Love, who hates Cleveland, just been moping for 2 years now, doesn't want to be there, They tried to buy him out. Not doing it. Not buying out. They have 2 more years on that deal. $61 million. He's got to know it's over for him, right? If he's holding on to this amount, because the buyout would be $45 million or something, and then he's free for the next 2 years. Yeah, he's probably signing veteran minimum deals, but I don't know, go get a ring, another one or something. But he's got to think that he must not want to go on those minimum deals if he's holding on to these 2 more years. The money isn't that much different
when you're talking 8 figures.
Well, say he gets $45 million now, and even if he signs the veteran minimum. You're getting close to $50 million over the next 2 years, or from the 61. At this point in his career, the $10 million over 2 years to play for a championship, depending on where you go. He's got every right to that 10-11 million. So
right,
it looks like he's gonna stick it out. But now Ben Simmons officially asking out of Philly. This was Ben
long
Simmons
time coming.
Rumors all the time. Embiid then says, oh, I hope he stays right after he asks out. It's we weren't saying that yesterday.
Right.
So I got kind of 4 proposed trades that I found on the interwebs. And I want to know kind of what you think of them. First one is with the Warriors, who he's been kind of linked to. So the Warriors would get Simmons and Tyrese Maxey from the Sixers. Sixers would get back Andrew Wiggins for a salary, Wiseman, Moses Moody, who the Warriors just drafted, 2022 first and a 2026 first. And I don't know.
I think the Sixers win that trade.
Why would the Sixers do that trade? Their window's now, no? They want to win this year.
Right. I still think the outcome for the Sixers is better than it is for the Warriors.
I'd agree. Giving up 2 firsts, a guy you just drafted, and James Wiseman, who was a top pick last year, it feels like too much for Ben Simmons. But these are 2 teams in very similar spots where they want to win and or at least compete for a championship this year. And when it's this year, I think Ben Simmons helps the Warriors more in 2021 than Andrew Wiggins and James Wiseman and Moses Moody do the Sixers in 2021.
That's fair.
I mean, I get it if you're really trying for the future a little bit, but it would be kind of committing to a rebuild for the Sixers. It would be a quick rebuild because you're getting young pieces right away. But by the time these guys are ready to win, especially with the health of Joel Embiid, he's not going to be an MVP candidate anymore. So you kind of, who's the centerpiece of that, of that championship team then? You
know, yeah.
In 4 or 5 years. Kind of a similar deal with the Kings. They would send Ben Simmons to the Kings, and they would receive Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton, Davion Mitchell, who the Kings just drafted, 2022 first, 2024 first. They get rid of Simmons. They get Buddy Hield and Halliburton, shooting they desperately need. And Davion Mitchell has looked really good in summer league. And you kind of get first round there. You get a 2024 instead of a 2026. And you have to think, even with Ben Simmons, those Kings picks are more valuable than the Warriors picks.
Right. And I don't really understand why the Kings would want that deal.
Me either. That like, team, like,
if Ben Simmons on the Kings does not bring them to a championship contender.
If it works and like De'Aaron Fox and Ben Simmons click and that odd couple in the backcourt kind of works, they're like a 7 seed.
Right.
But what other path do the Kings have to the 7 seed? They just want to make the playoffs. You know, there's some franchises like that. That's all. That's good enough.
But like to give up your first round pick from last year, your first round pick from this year, your first round pick for next year, and then the 2 years later, that just seems like a lot to get the 7 seed.
I would watch Kings games for about the first, I'd be interested in Kings games for the first month of the season just to see how that looks. You know, De'Aaron Fox and Ben Simmons would be interesting.
Right.
I'd want to see what that dynamic looks like, but I feel like we'd find out pretty quick. And then
I feel like the Kings' path to playoffs is their young stars. And I feel like.
Right. It's not this year, no matter
right. how you
really. Well, Ben Simmons is still relatively young.
Because honestly, like.
I mean, he brings much needed defense to that Kings team.
Right. I mean, honestly, I love Buddy Hield. I love Halliburton. And I love De'Aaron Fox. So if they can keep them all there, I think.
The Kings are desperately trying to move Buddy Hield.
Right.
Don't know really why. But, I mean, the Kings' first order of business is firing Luke Walton.
Right.
I mean, he's done nothing for them, but sticks around. Kind of the opposite instead for this next one. Instead of the Sixers getting a bunch of extra stuff, they're sending a bunch of extra stuff with Ben Simmons to the Blazers for Damian Lillard. So then the Blazers would get Simmons, Maxey, a 2023 first, and a 2024 pick swap. This is the best deal for the Sixers. You had Damian Lillard to that team. That's definitely a championship contender. But
I hate. Actually don't hate it for the Blazers either if they're willing to commit to the rebuild.
That's not enough for me. You can get more for Lillard, I think.
You think so?
Definitely. Look what like Anthony Davis got. And Davis had 1 year left on his deal. Like Damian Lillard has several years under contract, and you have to get like 5 or 6 picks for Damian Lillard.
That's fair.
And Ben Simmons, the stock is very low right now. At most, he's worth like 2 firsts. So if you count Ben Simmons as 2 firsts, you're also giving him a 2023 first. That's 3 firsts. A 2024 pick swap. Although I think some of the Lakers-Pelicans deal also included pick swaps. So but then Tyrese Maxey, that's not a first. So I think this is would be underpaying by the Sixers. So, I mean, if the Blazers come to me with this, I absolutely take it, but I think the Blazers can get a better package. But yeah, Damian Lillard and Joel Embiid, and then you still have Tobias Harris on the wing. That's a scary team for sure.
Right.
And then the final one, which I thought was interesting, a team we haven't really seen wrapped up in a lot of these trade rumors, is the Raptors, who would receive Ben Simmons, and the Sixers would get Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, and Chris Boucher. They're not really – no picks, but, like, you're committing, like, hey, this is the Joel Embiid show, and we're putting, like, just a lot of wing and guard talent around them. Like, no stars, really, but just we're going to have we are never going to have the worst player on the court. Like, so what's the starting lineup for a Sixers team look like here? You have Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, obviously. You start, you probably start OG and Fred VanVleet, and you just, you can go matchup for whoever your other wing is. Like, this is a very good defensive team.
Right.
And, you know, you get your shooting with Fred VanVleet, and I think OG and an OG shot will come, so. But can you take no picks for Ben Simmons?
I don't think so.
For the Sixers, I think I take the Blazers deal first, then the Kings, then probably the Warriors on this Raptors deal. Although I think this Raptors team, this Raptors deal makes them interesting for this year. There's just not a name there that's like, this is what we got for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, so I'd go a little different. I'd do Blazers, Kings, Raptors, Warriors.
Gotcha, yeah.
The
Warriors deal, I think, is interesting if they were to commit to a not a five-year rebuild, like a two-year rebuild. But I just don't think that's the right thing for the Sixers to do right now.
Right.
So kind of our last thing we have in this show, you went back. We have episodes on both the AFC and NFC. We go over all team totals and division odds, and I think winning the conference as well. And we kind of said, you know, we're a couple months out from the season at this point. We're not going to – we'll pick which side we like for each team, but we're not sure exactly where our money's going. That's what we're doing today. Said we'll each get 10 units, and we will – disperse them across futures bets for this NFL season, however we see fit to try to make the most money kind of at the end of the year. So we kind of both have our 10 units there. I'll start us out here. First off, I have the Saints to win the division. That's plus 325, and I'm putting 2 units on that. I just think that Saints team is strong. I believe in Jameis for this year, and you know they won the division last year, and the roster isn't all that different than it was. So plus 325, I really like that price. Obviously, if the Bucs are just who do have that Super Bowl strength of schedule, like it's going to be a hard road for them. There's always the Super Bowl hangover, like. I think the door's open for the Saints to repeat as division champs there. I'm also putting another division champs. I'm putting 1 unit on the Chargers to win the division plus 550. Like obviously the Chiefs are outstanding, but you know, they've won a ton of games each of the last few years. 7 teams make the playoffs. Like maybe this is a year where they're like, let's just make it to the playoffs healthy, you know. Don't need to be the 1 seed, like, and the Chargers, if they can stay healthy, which is always the issue with the Chargers, they can be very good this year.
Right.
That defense, it could be special. And then, you know, obviously they have Herbert and there's weapons on that offense as well. We're just 1 unit on that one, though, plus 550. So some money to be made there for the Chargers. But the bulk of my units are going on unders of what I think are bad teams. First off, I'm putting 3 of my units, my biggest bet, on the Broncos under 8.5. That's plus 104. It's plus money to take the under. Where are these wins coming from? We were just talking about the Chargers.
All right.
They have the Chargers and the Chiefs in this division. And the Raiders aren't a pushover. I'd say the Raiders are better than the Broncos. So if the Broncos get last place in the division, you're telling me they're going to be in last place at 8 or 9 and 8? I don't. That's just a lot of wins. Like, I like Teddy Bridgewater, but Teddy Bridgewater is your quarterback. Like, the offense, you know, you got Jerry Jeudy, but it's not a very exciting offense. Like, I don't see a whole lot of the defense is fine, but that offense simply isn't going to be able to keep up with the ones in its division.
Right.
That's just too. I just don't see where 9 wins come from out of this Broncos team. And my other 2 is 2 units apiece, both under 6.5, Jets and Jaguars, both at 1 win last year, and they're both going to add 6 wins. I don't quite buy that. Obviously, it's more likely for the Jaguars just because the division they play in. But the Jets, like, the Jets would be very lucky to win two games in their division.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a third of your season. So if you can do the same thing against any other two-thirds of the season, well, that's your 6 wins and you're not over. Both of those are minus money. So people are betting the under on those. And for good reason, I think. It's a lot of wins to add. The Jaguars just added Lawrence, which obviously could be enough if he's just spectacular, but that roster isn't that much different, but they're in a kind of a weaker division. The Jets did add pieces to the roster, but that division also got better.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the way you have to look at Lawrence is I feel like the Jags are probably as good, like outside of Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
the Jags are probably as good as the injured Chargers were last year. Herbert played spectacular, but they just didn't win games. You know, yeah, what
that,
I'm saying?
That like, defense still isn't close to what the Chargers had last year.
You're saying like that defense is
the Jags defense will be worse than the Chargers was even banged up last year.
Right. But that's what I'm saying.
Right. Like, yeah. I don't see it for the Jags.
Yeah.
See, that's my 10 unit spread. 2 on the Saints division, 1 on the Chargers division, 3 Broncos under, 2 Jags under, 2 Jets under.
All right. So now I have a lot more bets, but I have a lot that like tie into each other.
Gotcha.
So the first one is the first bet I played on this place in the futures
mm-hmm.
this year. I put $10 on the Raiders winning the Super Bowl. Back then it was plus 7,500. Right now it's plus 7,000.
Oh, sharp.
So here I've got half a unit on it. You know, you just look. So they were 8-8 last year, but it was either 4 or 5 of those games were within a score. The defense got better. And you just look at how they played against good teams. I mean, like the Chiefs beat them once, lost by 4 once or 3 once.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the other good teams they played against, I mean, I think there's probably a very small chance they do win, but I'm willing to sprinkle half a unit on it.
Yeah.
For that payout. So now we're going to the NFC West where I have 4 bets placed. I got 1 unit on the Niners taking last in that division. I just don't see it. I think if they run with Jimmy G, I don't see them taking anything but last. And I think if they run with Lance, there's going to be a learning curve.
What are the odds on that one?
Plus 475.
I like that. It's obviously, you know, that you're not likely to be like feeling real good about it. Like that's going to come down to the last couple games of the season. But I mean, if you're getting from, especially as tough as that division is, anything over 400 is value on anyone except for the Rams, I'd say. We both like the Cardinals, but you know, if you could get plus 450 for them to get last in the division, like there's a road for, I think, every team but the Rams to be last in that division.
The Cardinals were minus 130.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess we're just higher on the Cardinals.
I just don't see it.
Yeah.
So my next 3 bets out of the West are on the Cardinals. So I moved the line on their season wins to 9.5 and I took the over. It's plus 175. I don't see that team not being a 10-7 team or better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have them, so I put 2 units on that, on the over 9.5. I also have 1 unit on them being a wild card team at plus 320. And 1 unit on them winning the division at plus 575. Those last 2 are pretty much just me saying they're going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So the next one is 1 unit on the Titans as AFC champs at plus 1500. Seems like value. The Browns are plus 800, and I think the Titans have a far better shot of winning that the AFC than
it's the division. It's the Browns have such hard teams to go up against. I mean, even the discrepancy in having to play the Bengals in a week versus having to play the Texans in a week is big.
I mean, I get it, but that offense is just so gonna be so electric for the Titans.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Their division's much weaker than the Browns.
Right.
Like, they get more off. Like, they get to play the Texans and the Jaguars, who should be fairly easy.
Right.
I mean, obviously I'm biased here, but, like, at the very least, you're going to get beat up by the Steelers if you have to play them.
Right.
Are the Titans going to get beat up by the Jaguars? Like, it's just not the, yeah, just not the same.
So, it just seemed like value. I mean, you can never feel good when you're betting against Mahomes in something, but
I took the Jags or the Chargers to win the division.
You can never feel great about it, but if the value's there, you take it. So now we head to the AFC North, where I think there's really only two ways this division can go, and that's Steelers, Ravens, Browns, Bengals, which is plus 800. Or Steelers, Browns, Ravens, Bengals at plus 900. I think it's the Steelers division to lose. I'll knock on some wood for you.
Yeah.
But
I love hearing that.
I mean, we've both slandered Lamar enough on this podcast.
I did say that you could have taken him in the first round of our fantasy draft. So level-headed Steelers fan.
The Browns, I think last year is going to be as good as it gets with that current team they have, which is why I also kind of hedged my bet with half unit on the Browns to take last at plus 2,000 in case they do revert back to the old Browns, which could happen.
And I mean, you're always viable to finish last in the division when you have the worst quarterback in the division, like the Browns
do. Right.
He's probably the sixth best quarterback in the division.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins made the roster. Mason Rudolph's always there. The Ravens back up.
But yeah, I don't know. So I'm putting a lot of money on the Steelers taking first. But as long as the Steelers take first, I make money on that division no matter what.
Do you know what the straight odds are on the Steelers to
I don't
take first? I should. I think it's around in the 500s, but
yeah, I don't offhand. But yeah, and then my last one, just another value. That's kind of how I did all these bets. I just did like ones that I think are value.
Yeah.
I think the Giants division winner at plus 450 is value.
I looked at that. The Cowboys are minus odds there, which is driving the Giants, who are second, up so high.
No, Washington football team is plus 220.
That flipped. The last time I looked at the Giants.
I'm guessing that they're just banking on the defense carrying them the in those divisional games.
Very good.
But. Right.
Yeah, so is that your full
10
units?
So just a little rundown. So I had one unit on the Niners taking last, two on the Cardinals over 9.5, one on the wild card for the Cardinals, one on the division for the Cardinals, one on the Titans AFC champs, half unit each on Raiders Super Bowl champs and Browns last place, one unit each on my AFC North exact, and then one unit on the Giants division. So I kind of took a different route, put less units on, but I kind of placed bets on the NFC West and the AFC North in ways that I think, like, I don't see any other outcome.
Yeah. There's one that just left off. It was about even odds. That was just flat, I think, plus 105 or so. Just Colts miss playoffs. I was like, don't really believe in Carson Wentz to begin with. Now he's out like Yeah, he's on the COVID list. Like, is that team, that division not very good? Is there going to be a wild card in that division, especially with how strong the AFC is? Like, I kind of liked it, but I didn't quite make my list.
But, yeah.
So I just want to leave off on a little fantasy football talk. We had a little heated trade discussions where you heard on the last episode, my quarterback kind of chaos that's going on. I was panicking a little bit. Ended up with Cam Newton. He's not on the team anymore because he's not on the Patriots anymore. He's not on any team. That's me. But so now I have Josh Allen and I have Tyrod Taylor. And I was trying to trade for Justin Herbert. Couldn't really come to terms on it. And since that, the trade was offered. I was pondering. You get cold feet. You pull it. I'm kind of relieved because I'm buying in to my new QB2, being Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod's going to be fine. The Texans are going to be down 30 points at halftime in every game they play. All they're going to do is pass. Tyrod's going to be like a top 20 fantasy quarterback this year. He's just going to throw it so much that he's going to be fine. You don't need quarterbacks. I won this league last year, sort of Brandon Allen in the championship game. I don't need no dang quarterbacks. There's another AFC North quarterback better than Baker. Now he brought me a championship. Brandon Allen, you'll always have a place in my heart. Yeah, I think I am completely fine with Tyrod Taylor being my QB2. That is almost a course by trade for Derek Carr gets accepted. But yeah, continue to send us your fantasy football drafts, your fantasy football questions. We're getting to it. It's the last weekend. We have to make it through, but got some real gems of college football games coming up this weekend. So that'll be enough to make it through, I think. So hold strong. It's here. You can feel it. Football's in the air. We'll see you guys on Monday.